firstly, how did you hear about the hotline?
An email from Crossover Partnership.
Okay.
That explained it, and also Doolin mentioned it directly as well.
Okay, perfect. That's good to know. And then I guess in terms of when you contacted the hotline, what was kind of the reason that you decided to contact it?
So obviously this was before the TFL street space scheme was completely announced, but there was a lot of talk about how different boroughs were reacting and kind of responding to COVID.
Yeah.
At the very beginning of lockdown, the end of March and the beginning of April, there was a lot of uncertainty about our lib funding and particularly kind of in terms of how my role was going to continue, and a lot of the focus was starting to look at how schools would be returning if and when they were going to return, and I was attending other workshops around how different countries around the world were responding to COVID in terms of their kind of transport response. And the school street scheme came up as an opportunity to try and deliver as many schemes as possible for when the schools return. So it was just a case of kind of like going to somebody that had as much knowledge, a source of information about school suits to just begin our planning, really. So yeah, Caroline and I first talked back in the end of April, I think it was.
Okay.
Just about school streets more broadly, really, about how to, I guess, prioritise schools, how to locate them, you know, looking at the feasibility of certain schools, and just getting an idea, really, of kind of how to start strategising around it.
Mm. Okay. So would you have said that you had much experience of school streets beforehand in terms of implementing them, or was it kind of... you had a pretty good overview, but you wanted to have some queries on specific aspects?
I started working for Lambeth a year ago, and prior to that I, you know, supported a few schemes while working for Sustrans, but more in terms of the kind of on the day engagement, you know, with residents and not the actual planning side of things beforehand. So in the kind of 6 to 9 months prior to, well, 6 months working for Lambeth prior to lockdown, I'd had two experiences working around two school streets, but it was more kind of maintaining the momentum of them, transitioning between Turtle Gates and ANPR, but never looking at a scheme from the very beginning and developing it from the very, you know, from very beginning to actually delivering that. So yeah, in terms of, yeah, I had a kind of, I suppose, light touch in it, but this has definitely been a lot more intensive.
Okay. So I guess in terms of like the sort of queries you were asking of the hotline, was it, so as you said, it was kind of more about developing more of a programme and how to engage with the public. That was kind of the sort of help that you were most after.
Yeah. I mean, as I said, this was before the first conversation I had with her. Looking back and looking at my notes now, the first conversation I had with her was actually before the TFL street space scheme. So it was more around just kind of developing school streets for Lambeth in general, rather than it being COVID specific.
Yeah.
So a few of the questions that I had were off the back of a consultation meeting that we had for a potential school street that was back in the end of January or February.
Okay.
And there's a lot of aggressive kickback from residents in person, you know, that kind of, that, you know, it was that NIMBYism of, you know, we generally support the scheme, but not in my backyard. I don't want the scheme to happen here. So, one of the key questions I was asking Caroline at the time was how to deal with the aggression and kickback of residents and kind of managing exemptions. So, you know, how vulnerable adults can have access to their property, or how to alleviate any fears and concerns from residents about, you know, visits from relatives and things along those lines, and how to just, I suppose, kind of have that communication.
Yeah.
And also how to respond when there's negative kickback from consultation as well. One of the things she was saying, you know, kind of sometimes you can't win every single consultation. Sometimes you've got to walk away and recognise the lessons learned and implement them further down the line. And then we began to look at things around lockdown at that point as well, and how that would affect people if they're not able to leave their house and if they needed to access their house. And there was a lot of uncertainties at the time during our initial conversation.
Okay.
Which she, you know, I think her and I were discussing things together, and there's lots of things that she knew that she could help me with, but a lot of things that we were still learning together at the time as well.
Yeah.
More COVID specific. Yeah.
Okay. And so do you think that the hotline was useful in terms of the COVID response? Because obviously it's quite interesting that you started, well, you know, when we were kind of coming up towards this period that we probably all knew was going to happen. But did you kind of then switch the kind of what you were kind of using the hotline for?
Yeah, definitely. So she gave me a, you know, fantastic overview of the whole School Streets process back in April, you know, kind of how to select the schools, feasibility, looking at the communication side of things, consultation, working with the web team, you know, exemptions, the really good overview.
Mm.
And then we had a lot changed in between April and May. Honestly, the second conversation we had, because I had the second conversation with my manager as well, and Caroline at the end of May. Again, like, you know, Caroline's incredibly knowledgeable and incredibly supportive and helpful. I just think there were so many uncertainties at that time that Hackney were, you know, along with Lambeth and other boroughs across London, were just trying to work out that there were just a few ambiguities, and that was no fault of anyone's. You know, it was just a case of like we were suddenly given all this new information, and I think Caroline and Hackney and every borough was just trying to work out how they were going to be responding at that time at the end of May. So I think the second conversation we had definitely transitioned to being more COVID specific.
Yeah.
And I think we were just kind of working a few things out together, really, in terms of
almost like a sounding board as such, like having a person who you knew was very knowledgeable that you could go to and actually talk about, you know, working out sort of how you would deal with some things. And although they might have not had the exact answers, it was just being able to work with someone to develop an idea.
Yeah, absolutely. You said it much better than I could. Yeah.
Okay. That's really good to know. So I guess the other question that would be quite good to know then, in terms of like creating Lambeth School Streets programme, do you feel that the hotline did play a role in how you went about doing that? And it was kind of, you know, did you use a lot of the information provided as part of your programme and when you were developing it? I guess you've kind of pretty much said you were. You did.
Yeah, ultimately, yes, definitely. I mean, it was just really good to have somebody to talk to about the whole structure of the programme. And obviously there were different things to look at that were COVID specific, but you know, it was still, because the COVID response is ultimately a much more condensed version of what we'd be doing normally. We, you know, rather than working at one school, we looked at 16. So that, you know, that her support around creating a large scale map and looking where the closures and diversions were going to be, and any potential displacement of traffic and how they might have a knock on effect, all those things were really useful when I went through and did a diagnostic, I hate the word diagnostic study, but kind of, you know, I did a diagnostic examination of all the schools in the borough and which ones would be most suitable based on, you know, on her supportive kind of structure that she gave me.
Yeah, okay. That's really good to know. So in terms of Lambeth School Streets programme itself then, do you mind just giving me a quick overview of kind of what you've done and how many school streets you have implemented?
Yeah, so we've got 14 that we implemented from last Wednesday. We looked at all the schools in the borough initially, and by we, I mean, you know, myself and looking at like all the different junctions, and I'm not a traffic engineer, so it was all very new to me. I've come from a background delivering a lot in schools and working with children, and so I was looking initially just at a system based on, okay, can we put temporary barriers in here to kind of block off traffic and restrict traffic during these times? Or does this school need a more advanced engineering solution?
Yeah.
Like a one-way or planters? Or can they just be provided with some keep clear kind of gates and signage? So initially we classified all the schools based on those three classifications. And then because of time restraints and because of all sorts of things being rushed and falling through, we ended up just looking at the schools in terms of whether they could be closed at the school gates with temporary barriers and signage.
So, okay.
Yeah, essentially kind of a school street with turtle gates and road closed with social distancing signage that could then, if successful, transition to be enforced by NPR.
Yeah.
So we approached all the schools, got them to express their interest, got them to sign MOUs. We had all the designs drawn up and finally approved by the engineers, and it was all very, working down to the wire, really.
Yeah.
Initially, we thought we had quite a lot of time for this, but things just took a lot longer than we anticipated. And finally got the traffic order through about 2 weeks ago. it all went live last week. So at the moment, schools are just deploying and removing temporary signage and barriers for 90 minutes in the morning and 90 minutes in the afternoon. And it's then transitioning to an experimental traffic order.
Yeah.
Supported by traffic signs, hopefully with the view of becoming permanent with ANPRs going forward.
Okay, brilliant. And in terms of when you're kind of hoping to do that sort of transitional to ANPR, do you have any kind of aim to do it by a certain date, or is it kind of just more, because obviously, to be fair, we're in this very uncertain climate at the moment, it's just more an aspiration?
Well, it's an aspiration, certainly. I mean, we've launched the schemes on a six-month trial basis.
Okay.
So they're all kind of, I'm just encouraging schools to give me as much feedback as possible as to whether it's working.
Yeah.
Normally we'd monitor, we're starting to look at other ways to monitor it as well. Normally we would have done this beforehand, but it's quite challenging with so many schools and not being able to get out there.
Yeah.
Also monitoring, air quality and kind of traffic displacement and various things.
Okay.
But yeah, we're looking to, because they're being launched on an experimental traffic order, after 6 months that could be made permanent. So any time after 6 months, really, but it would have to then go out to consultation properly. Statutory consultation. So we're not there yet, but that's the ambition.
Yeah, exactly.
So
probably
between 6 months and 18 months, basically.
Okay, brilliant. Well, I guess this is always the first step, isn't it? So, we're moving in the right direction, which is the main thing. And hopefully 6 months is enough to get people used to it. And then hopefully it'll be smooth sailing. But
hope so, yeah.
Touch wood, eh? So I guess the next question then is, in terms of your programme, do you think it would have developed differently if the hotline hadn't been available?
It's a good question. I mean, ultimately, the hotline was a fantastic support, and it gave me the knowledge, the kind of requisite knowledge or consolidated the knowledge that I needed to move forward. Unfortunately, I was at the mercy of a lot of changes to the approach from our director, so around what we could and couldn't do. So although the information that Caroline gave us definitely shaped what we wanted to achieve, we had to adapt to the different information we were given by our director, and that very much changed over between kind of May and June.
Yeah.
From us being able to only do school streets on roads that were less than 50 metres or less, which was incredibly limiting.
Yeah.
To us be able to launch it on experimental traffic order, to be able to put these signs and barriers in. So, I think ultimately the school streets hotline was the kind of the foundation and the push that we needed to kind of sculpt the project.
Okay, great. And then I guess, was there any kind of advice that was given that you felt was like a kind of key takeaway, or almost like a light bulb moment, just because it'd be quite useful to know if in terms of the sort of, if any, there was any particular aspect of School Streets that people found more challenging? So, for example, I know that quite a lot of partners said that monitoring was quite a big, you know, kind of aspect of School Streets they were wanting extra help with. So it would just be kind of interesting to get your perspective on what was your kind of key
honestly,
takeaway.
Yeah, monitoring's still one that I'm working out. one of the key things that seemed really obvious but we didn't have before was the website. I mean, it goes without saying, but like, you know, everything needs to be online these days, and we didn't have a website, so that was the kind of thing that really she got my eyes. So I was like, yeah, let's get this on board, let's just get some it's a really basic landing page for everyone about the two schemes that have already been implemented, and just inform residents and the public that there may be more going forward as well. The website and the comms approach with a proper kind of frequently asked question sheet as well, having that available online rather than them having to email us alleviates a lot of the frustrations. And then also, you know, Caroline's saying as well, I mean, it kind of, I think it took the feeling of like personal responsibility out slightly. You know, when she said essentially, you know, if there's loads of kickback, then sometimes you've just got to walk away, basically. If you have other, you know, if you have the money for the schemes and other schools are crying out for it, then sometimes you've got to walk away from the schemes which have a lot of kind of resident kickback and actually focus on the ones that would be more successful.
I suppose giving
a bit of perspective about it all was useful as well.
Okay, brilliant. So I guess now it's kind of going more onto like the kind of use of the hotline. So did you find that the hotline service was easy to use?
It's a phone call, wasn't it, really?
Yeah, exactly. So it's because I know, for example, we did have a couple of occasions, I think, where people called on the day and didn't necessarily get a slot. So it was just checking, did you kind of pre-book or did you just call and get lucky?
I might be wrong, but I might have been one of the first people to use it. I don't know. Yeah. But anyway, I the first call we had, there were technical difficulties.
Okay.
The call was pushed back by 20 minutes, but that's not a problem. It was just a case of like, I use Teams. And
the classic, like, and then some people use Zoom and like,
at the time, like I said, it was all around using, at the time I didn't think that you could use Teams with anyone external or something, maybe, I don't know, but she tries to use Google Hangouts, but I couldn't log in when I was trying to log in through my personal email, I know, it just wasn't working, so I think in the end I just called her mobile number.
Okay. But other than that, it was all fairly simple.
Phone call, really. Once it came through, it wasn't.
Good. And then you said, I think you've said you used the hotline twice. Is that right, or did you use it more than twice?
Twice.
Okay, perfect. And then, just, do you have any feedback that you feel would have made the service better? Obviously, we're coming up to the end of the service now, but it's always good to know if there's any lessons learned or things you think could have been improved.
Trying to think, really. I mean, you know, Hackney have been incredibly supportive, and they've been a great source of knowledge. I suppose, you know, I think this isn't just about the School Streets hotline. I suppose it's just kind of going forward, having a pool of information. I mean, there's the Hackney toolkit, isn't there, which is brilliant.
Yes.
But I think we're all responding to this very unusual situation. And the hotline was, you know, like, it was particularly useful. I'm just trying to think.
It's almost as if, like...
I organised a kind of a monthly catch-up thing with other borough officers as a platform for them to feed back, you know, their experience of implementing School Streets. And I suppose, yeah... I know that Cross River Partnership are doing similar things like that. It's really hard to keep up with all the different workshops and everything happening. But having, you know, kind of like a consistent 1 month or something update where people can just call in and have a open discussion, and some of that would have been potentially useful. But I know it would have been obviously a massively added benefit. when everyone's already working really, really hard.
Yeah. It's almost then, like, by the sound of it, like some sort of forum where people could post queries or, like, you know, catch up with their experiences would have been really helpful. And I think it was quite interesting because as part of HSE, we had kind of got that impression. We were sort of trying to see if partners would maybe want like a Slack channel or something that they could post queries about with the street space in general. But as you said, it's kind of almost the technological barriers of some places aren't allowed to use this, some places aren't to use that, and then obviously resource. But I find it interesting that you think that would have been useful, because I agree, to be honest, like everyone was going through this period of not really knowing how to deal with certain things, and just getting that kind of community, you know, able to soundboard and ask different queries, have you experienced this, what did you end up doing, almost that kind of forum or service would have been quite helpful.
Kind of a bit organically, because there was a Westminster School Streets meeting that happened back in early March.
Okay.
There was a kind of email chain, and then we ended up just kind of continuing to email each other, but it was nothing official or anything along those lines.
Yeah.
And we kind of just put a monthly catch up in and tried to, but we didn't really have a platform to promote it elsewhere, so it just kind of became the people that were already in the email chain, I suppose. But you know, things like, you know, Hackney were again incredibly useful. They gave us the banner templates for the vinyl banners and lamppost wraps.
Yep.
And I know this is going to sound like really pernickety because everyone was really, really up against it. But again, I suppose like going forward, and it's hard to predict this because obviously we're working like during the pandemic and everything. But I suppose like if this happened again, it would be great to have like all of us working together so we can have those resources in one place and have like a platform for those questions and everything. But it sounds like a minor gripe because I understand that everyone was working so hard and it shouldn't just be up to Hackney to to provide these things. So that's like,
yeah, it's almost like a central
ideal world.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's almost like a central school streets, like, you know, resource or something would be useful. But yeah, exactly. It's always good to know anyway what, because obviously, as you said, that would be the ideal situation. And who knows, hopefully we don't have many more pandemics. But
Exactly. Yeah, but that's not to criticise anyone, because I know, like, you know, Doolin was working up against it. And she was incredibly kind to give us the banners in the first place. And I think it was just a very stressful couple of weeks trying to get everything confirmed. So that's no shade towards anybody. It's all incredibly useful, incredibly supportive. But I think, you know, maybe going forward, if we invited all the borough officers into one, as you said, I don't know what's something like a, you say Slack or something like that.
Yeah, or just even just like a online, you know, sign-in forum or something. I know what you mean, like, because I know Slack is one we used in a previous company I worked in. But again, it's kind of like you just need something everyone can access, really. So
yeah, definitely. But no, all good. That was really useful. Caroline was brilliant. You know, she's really, really supportive, really constructive, like really helpful. And she kind of was a good teacher, you know, guided me through. So
brilliant. Well, that leads nicely onto the last question, which was just, do you have any additional comments or observations that you'd like to share in terms of your kind of experience of using the hotline?
I think I've covered everything, to be honest.
Perfect.
Is there anything else that you wanted to know?
No, I think we've, as you said, we've covered everything really. So I'm just obviously really, really glad that the hotline has been of help, and that obviously the CRP's Healthy Streets Every Day was able to fund something that we're really glad people have used and have found useful. So thank you so much for taking the time to chat.
One last thing quickly, sorry, she did, I just realised she gave me some really useful links to other websites. So when with the question you asked about one specific thing, and that being the website development, she gave me really kind of like a comprehensive list of other school street lobby groups and England-wide borough, you know, specific borough school street websites. It was really useful to look through those.
Brilliant.
So that was really useful as well.
Good.
No problem. Thanks for
great. Thank you so much for speaking to me.
Was it you that emailed me as well about the air quality?
Yes, so that was me, so about the vivacity sensors. So HSE, as I said, we've been funding sensors, but I think Lambeth are wanting two, so Susie's very kindly agreed to fund one through the HSE funding pot. So yes, that was me.
is it two? I thought it was just one, I think.
So what's happened is, so the Healthy Streets Everyday programme offers, every partner is allowed one sensor that's funded by the programme, but Lambeth had already taken one for a low traffic neighbourhood. So when, I believe it was Sabrina, asked about funding one for a school streets programme, we said that we'd be able to do that, but we can't fund it from the kind of HSE pot because otherwise it's unfair to give one partner two over anyone else. But Susie actually had underspend this quarter from her actual 30k that she'd already got from HSE. So it was just confirming that she'd be happy to use that funding for the school streets sensor, if that makes sense.
I think so. Yeah. Okay. Cool. She's on annual leave for the next kind of 10 days.
Yes, yes.
I mean, I'm happy to take up any communication in the interim.
Yeah, I think I sent an email that at the moment, to be fair, she'll need to sign the sort of service level agreement, but she's pretty much said that she's happy to fund it. So it would just be in terms of the Vivacity location kind of information, which I think I put in an email. It's an email attachment. But my colleague Tomos is kind of leading on that. But yeah, obviously do feel free to get in touch with myself if you have any queries on any of it, because, obviously more than happy to help.
Okay, perfect. All right, that's really useful. Thank you very much.
Brilliant.
Cool. All right, cheers, Fiona.
Thank you. Have a lovely rest of the day.
Yeah, you too.
All right, then.
Bye.
Bye.